Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Cedric Tetzel from London Drugs joins me. And Cedric and I think we joined the computer industry about the same time. When was your first year, Cedric?
Somewhere in the early 80s, I would admit to.
Okay. Well, I started in 1984 was my first year in the computer business. So it was fairly early 80s.
Yep.
Now, and we've done this kind of walk down memory lanes, you and I, before, but you just found an article about the top 10 handheld devices of all time.
Yeah, somebody at Computer World by the name of Matt Lake, and I'll give him credit, came up with his top 10 list of handheld devices that was introduced or have been introduced in the last 40 years.
Uh-huh.
And I took a look at it and had a trip down memory lane, as you pointed out. Like the first one he mentioned, for instance, was the Hewlett-Packard HP35 scientific calculator.
Yes.
That came out in 1972 because Mr. Hewlett himself said, I want to have all those scientific functions in a calculator I can slip in a shirt pocket.
Now, isn't that still there? Like, almost Hewlett-Packard was almost built on that calculator. Every single engineering student, every single astronomy student, every student needed that calculator.
And not only that, they had to go to a class to learn reverse Polish notation.
Yes.
The most...
Well, it's still used today, though, isn't it?
It is absolutely the most amazing system. Once you learn it, you don't want to give it away. Because after I was using the HP35 and had to go back to a regular calculator with pluses and minuses where they belong, so to speak, I didn't know how to use it. Because no matter how complicated a formula was, as long as you know your math, RPN was so elegant, so easy to use, but we're dating ourselves.
Yes, yes. Well, no one else will.
Yes. Well, another one I found on his list that was intriguing was the Scion Organizer.
Okay, I remember that, I think.
So now, to go back, you have to understand the HP calculator, when it was introduced in 1972, gas, believe it or not, in the U.S. was 36 cents a gallon.
Uh-huh.
And the calculator was $400.
Yes. Yeah.
So we move forward 12 years to 1984. The Scion Organizer had all your life recorded on it. It was the precursor to the old Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It sold for about $200. And at that time, the gas was now $1.21.
Okay.
A gallon. So those of us driving around looking at
it. $6 a gallon now, yeah.
Yep. So that
how do you spell Scion? How is Scion spelled?
I can't P-S-I-O-N.
Oh, it's P-S-I-O-N. That's right, because I was looking Scion like the car. Now I'm remembering it more when I see it laid out. Yes, okay, absolutely. And, oh, yeah, it did look like a calculator as well.
And it revolutionized the way people remembered things.
So it was really the precursor to the Palm Pilot, which is what I imagine the next device was?
Well, actually, it was, believe it or not, in the middle, in 1993, something called, I'm sure you used it, Apple Newton came out.
Oh, the Newton was awesome.
It was. And I thought, the birth of bat manners. Because that was the time when people would show up at meetings and start using their Newton right in the middle of meetings and lectures.
And the Newton was developed when Steve Jobs wasn't at Apple, and
right.
He shelved the Newton when he came to Apple, but he kept a lot of the technology in place, and he kept them developing it. And then number one in that was gesture-based technology, basically coming up with a new method of maintaining and managing that screen.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Newton, yes, the good old Newton.
And at that point in 1993, it sold for $700.
And I have a Newton still at home.
That must be a collector's item.
Yeah, it is.
It's got to be.
I don't fire it up too often. I think I lost the charger for it, but I think I could get one on eBay. Okay.
And then 3 years later, the Palm Pilot came out.
Which was really, for most of us, that was the democratization of the handheld organizer.
That I actually remember at the trade show where they showed it for the first time. And I thought, what? And I asked the guys, you want me to learn a new way of writing known as graffiti?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the shorthand notation, yeah.
But once I got to use it, I was inseparable with it.
Yeah, and it still had some Palm Pilot still had some features in it which were still are still kind of missing from things like the iPhone. The way that we would beam contacts back and forth was so elegant and so effortless in it. And we're just getting to that point now with the things like the iPhone.
And I can tell you that I can, with practice, write better, spell better on graffiti than with a touchscreen keyboard.
Yes, yeah. Touchscreen keyboards suck.
Okay. So yeah,
especially for our age demographic there, Cedric. Okay.
And it was a $300 PDA.
And it was, and it carried and carried and carried for so long. It was just a great product.
And then rolling forward, just before the turn of the millennium, BlackBerry came out.
Yep.
And the
original one was just a little, it wasn't much bigger than a pager.
No, in fact, that's how the company started, was the pager company. So they used the same format. And this texting machine just took over the world at that point in 1999.
Yes, I can remember when they rolled out. I can remember the first time I saw it was an engineer from Microsoft was out visiting, and he had one of the originals, and he was showing us how it worked. And it was literally, you know, like right from the guys in Waterloo from the Skunk Works. It was fascinating.
So if you set the scene at that point, then when people were still using Palm Pilots in various editions after that, using BlackBerry.
And we have to remember, Palm Pilots were not connected to the internet in any way. They were just discrete organizers that you had to plug into your computer and sync. And the big deal was whether you could get them to sync to Outlook if you're on Windows, or they would use the Palm Desktop, which would be the organization, the calendar and contact management package on the Mac or on Windows as well.
Right. But then 2007 came along. Steve Jobs went on the stage and introduced the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to say I was actually into the audience that day.
Were you?
Absolutely floored by his demo.
Mm-hmm.
The most wonderful memory of him on stage was showing the iPhone
The visual voicemail side of it?
And just showing what I think he was looking for, if I recall, trying to find a pizza joint near at the trade show hall, and I thought this was absolutely most fascinating thing. He was doing a chat with somebody in the audience, one of his engineers.
Yeah.
It just completely disrupted all our normal mode of thinking. I said, okay, this is what it should look like. And it was just absolutely fascinating to live through that.
And what was the price for the original iPhone?
That's a good question, because that was
$600. Yeah, it was $600. So the same price as the iPhone is today, basically. Yeah.
Except the gas was, at that point, I checked. On that year, the gas was only $1.25.
Do you have to keep bringing up the gas thing? Is that a gallon?
No, a liter.
$1.25 a liter?
Yep.
That's not much different than it is now.
Well, except last week it went up to...
Yeah, it was $1.50.
And then And of course, Apple does a great job of not telling people what they introduce before Mr. Jobs go on stage. And then, again, I was in the audience in my annual pilgrimage to Macworld when he introduced iPad in 2010.
Yeah.
And again, it was just floored. Here was what some people at that point called a color Newton.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, history tells us that it completely changed the way we look at computers.
Well, I can remember when the iPad was released, listening to the podcast from the other technology shows and people talking about the biggest story around it was the fact that it sounded like a feminine hygiene product, and everybody was there was all the, you know, and when we think about it now, it's become ubiquitous with you know, productivity, to the point that we call the era that we're in now the post PC era. Absolutely. And that's due to the iPad,
and that's the disruptive nature of Apple technology and design.
Cedric, you got to send me a link to this walk down memory lane. We'll post it, and we'll look forward to comments from our listeners on it.
And we'll wait another 40 years and go down and see what happens for the iPad.
Oh, yeah, if we're around for 40 more years. Cedric Tetzel is the technology buyer at London Drugs for all of your computer needs. They are the folks you should be visiting. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.